Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
As we will see, and as we probably know, anger can quickly get out of control. Yes, anger is a deadly sin. One of the reasons I feel so strongly about this subject, hope I'm not getting angry about it, but one of the reasons I feel so strongly about it, over the years, I've seen tremendous devastation, yes, in Christian homes over anger.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today, we're continuing our series on the seven deadly sins by addressing the emotion of anger. Anger can be justifiable, but it can also be selfish and deadly. So to help keep us from letting this powerful emotion control our lives and relationships, let's join Pastor John Monroe for today's lesson.
Today, we continue in our series on the seven deadly sins. Previously, we considered pride and envy, and last time began to look at anger. Pride and envy can be hidden, but usually our anger manifests itself in our body language, our moods, our speech, and even in our actions. We live in an angry society. From road rage to hateful comments on social media and uncivil behavior, anger is all around us. So, are there any danger signs in your life? Last time we learned from Scripture that not all anger is sin, and that when we're angry, it is important to resolve the anger quickly and maturely. The devil would rather we stay angry. So today, let's learn more about anger and how it can be replaced with gentleness and grace. Will you stand with me? Want to read the Word of God together? It's from Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Please be seated. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, notice verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Not all anger is sin. Now, anger is a natural human emotion. And verse 26 is best seen not as a command to be angry, but rather an injunction not to sin when you are angry. The NIV translates it, in your anger, do not sin. So anger in and of itself is not sinful. There are clearly situations which do make us angry. If you left this morning and went to the parking lot and saw a man with a stick beating a two-year-old, there'd be something wrong with us if we weren't angry. But we must differentiate between sinful anger and righteous indignation. Sinful anger is selfish and is deadly. So the warning is, be very, very careful when you are angry. Angry is an emotion which has to be managed, which has to be brought under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Have you sinned in your anger? Have you allowed your emotions to take over? Have you? Turn with me back to Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Here are three good verses for you to write down. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. If you know a little bit about Proverbs, there's the wise person and then there's the fool. They are contrasted. The wise person is slow to anger. If you're slow to anger, you're wise. If you've got a hasty temper, you're foolish. You exalt folly. Turn to chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. See, an angry person is often a troublemaker, that individual. This stirs up strife. He's never happy unless he's in the middle of a battle, and he prides himself that he is the kind of individual who speaks his mind. But he's really foolish. He's hot-tempered, but he is slow to anger, quiets contention. Chapter 29, Proverbs 29. Again, similar point. Proverbs 29, 22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Your anger causes much transgression. Your anger, my anger, causes a lot of damage. You damage people. They may never say it. They may listen to your anger, whether it's at work or in your relationships, in your home. But your anger is causing much transgression, much damage. So when we're angry, we're usually talking rather than listening. When you're angry, a good thing is to stop. Slow to anger. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Excellent advice, isn't it? Now back to Ephesians chapter 4, our main text, Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What's Paul saying? Resolve your anger quickly. Yes, don't stay angry. Do you really expect life always to go your way? I was driving here this morning. Is it reasonable to expect that I'm going to have every green light? I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm coming to preach the Bible. I mean, I should get every green light, shouldn't I? Why should I stop? And some guy in front of me switched lanes, didn't indicate. I mean, his driving is terrible. What should I do? Shout at him? Life is full of irritations, of setbacks, of disappointments. Life has people letting us down, just as you let people down. People around you are sinful, just as you are. Learn to deal with it. Don't be immature. Stop the outbursts of anger. It's immature, it's childish. It's inappropriate. There's a poor example for you when you're driving your car and you've got your wife and your children in it, for you to be shouting, even swearing and cursing because of what some other driver does. Stop it. When we don't quickly resolve our anger, resentment and bitterness quickly spring up. Brooding on your anger and repeatedly going over it in your mind about the wrong cause to you builds even more anger. That's the problem. This is bad for us. Paul is saying, no, resolve it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, which is a metaphorical way of saying, yes, in certain cases you are going to be angry, but when that happens, make very careful that you don't sin in your anger because it's such a powerful emotion, and deal with it quickly. Proverbs 29, verse 11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, love covers a multitude of sins. Resolve your anger quickly, maturely. Don't make a big issue out of a minor issue. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now look at verse 27. I think it's fascinating how Paul writes this. And give no opportunity to the devil. Now, this is very significant. The devil wants you angry. The devil wanted Cain angry, so angry that he killed his brother. So when you're angry, the devil is quite happy. He loves rage. arguments, dissension, shouting, cursing, lies, deceit. Paul says here now, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity for the devil. When there is unresolved anger, when there's anger in the home, to me is like opening the front door of your home and inviting the devil in. Come in, devil. We're an angry home. You're going to be very welcome here. Come in. We're vulnerable. When we're angry, we do the devil's work. We cause disunity, we cause strife, we cause slander, we cause accusation. The devil is the great slanderer, the father of lies, the accuser of the brothers, the deceiver. Anger. Think of the problems in the homes and relationships and churches and the workplace when anger is not handled in a biblical way. Anger destroys the unity of the body and grieves the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 29 to 30 again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Any corrupting talk come out of your mouths? We as a society have gone down, isn't it? People use the so-called F-bomb as if it was just nothing. As a boy, we hardly heard that word. Now it's heard all of the time, and people don't think anything about it. It's corrupting. No vulgarities in your speech. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to elevate our speech. Don't speak like the unbeliever. Don't use their terminology. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion. Build up one another that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What difference? You can use your words to devastate people. Words of corruption, of accusation, vile, blasphemous, slander, all through your speech. Paul says, no, no. That grieves the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces peace. Paul says at the end of verse 29, that it may give grace to those who hear. There are people, when you speak with them, they are speaking words of grace, words of truth, words of comfort, words of healing, words of unity and harmony and peace. That should happen, man, in your home as you lead your family. That should happen in our relationships. How many people are destroyed? How many people are damaged in all kinds of ways through corrupting speech? Don't do that. Build up one another. The world wants to curse and shout and slander. We, the people of God, are to be characterized by peace. You say, well, I can't help it, John. That's just who I am. Please. You're not a robot. You're not a machine. When you don't get what you want, when difficult situations present themselves, ask God for his wisdom and strength. Self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. There, Paul describes the works of the flesh, which includes anger and shouting and wrath, but part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. James is going to tell us that that tells you a lot about the person as to how they speak. Have you got control of your speech? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Anger is a deadly sin. What's the solution? Rather than being angry, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. I'm asking you to do that today. I'm asking you to put it away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. How would your children describe you? How would your husband or your wife describe you as regards anger? How would your co-workers describe you? You say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Those who know you, how would they describe you? Would they describe you as a person of anger, or would they describe you as somebody who is gentle, kind, and forgiving? Be gentle and kind and forgiving. Isn't that wonderful? You can choose to hold on to your anger or put it away. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now, says Paul, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Again, the mouth has to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Now, Paul, in Galatians 3, as we saw last week dealing with envy, he tells us that the Christian is united with Jesus Christ. Yes, we are sinful, but the power and the dominion of sin in the Christian has been broken. That's Romans 6. Yes, there is still indwelling sin. I still have the flesh. I still have the potential to be angry. But the power of that in my life has been broken by my Lord Jesus Christ. I have died to sin. I am united with Christ. Seek the things which are above. Why are you going back to that old lifestyle? Yes, before you came to Christ, you behaved like that. Why are you going back to it? You need to put it off decisively, kill the sin or it will kill you, and now put on what? Put on my Lord Jesus Christ and to receive his forgiveness. Have you received the forgiveness of God? Notice what Paul says at the end of 32, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Your anger is dealt with at the cross of Christ. Do you realize that God is angry because of our sin? He's angry with the wicked every day. That our sin is such that God, says Paul in Romans 1, 8, that the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness of men. We're under the very wrath of God, the anger of God because of our sin. Where is the only place of safety? Not doing behavior modification, no, but by claiming the forgiveness which our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. The only protection from the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the anger of God is found at the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ made propitiation. He bore the wrath of God on himself in the tree so that I who receive Christ, that power is now broken. Because my Lord Jesus Christ not only has died for my sin, he's risen and he is alive. And on the cross, he bore my anger. He bore my sin. Have you come to the cross? Think of it. All of that sin gone. To receive the forgiveness of sin. In him, says Paul, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. We come to the cross and receive his forgiveness. And now, as I have received his forgiveness, I'm to forgive others. As he has been kind to me, I'm to be kind to others. As he has been tender with me, I'm to be tender with others, filled with his Spirit. Some of you have been carrying anger and bitterness for many years. I understand that. Some of you come from terrible homes. Some of you were abused, exploited as children. Others of you have had an unfaithful spouse who's walked out on you. Others have had a close friend who have betrayed you. Some of you have been defrauded a lot of money in a business enterprise. Some of you struggle with a debilitating health condition. Some of you have been let down badly by people and you're very angry. You feel you've been hurt so badly that you've almost a right to be angry. You know, that anger, that wrong that was perpetrated on you, which was terrible, doesn't justify your bursts of anger. You're not to seek revenge. You're to stop. You're to stop. If you don't put away that anger, as Scripture is telling you, that bitterness, that resentment, what this happens? It grows and grows and grows, and it will dominate your relationships. People will get tired hearing your story of your hurt. What are you to do with it? You're to lay it down. laid down at the cross, that burden of anger, that burden of bitterness. Some of you have held it far too long. And I'm asking you, based on this scripture, to put it away, to put it down at the cross and receive God's forgiveness. It's time to deal decisively with that sin in your life. Think of the difference. Think of the difference in your home. Think of the difference in your relationships. Instead of the anger and that rage and that bitterness and that sense you've been wronged and that desire for revenge and that desire to pay back and you see yourself as this terrible victim. Instead of that, as you lay down at the cross, you're going to be an individual who displays tenderness, who displays God's grace, who displays God's love. What difference that will make in your office? What difference that will make in your home? Think of the difference in your relationships. I'm asking you to end your anger, to come to the cross. Yes, you need to repent of the sin. Remember last week I said of the envy, you've got to acknowledge that sin. I am the sinner. I am an angry man, you need to say. I'm an angry woman, an angry young man. Name the sin. And if you've never yet been saved, I ask you to come to Christ. Yes, with all your anger, all your bitterness, all of your hate, to repent of it, to turn from it, and see the love of God, that God so loved you that he gave his only son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Why don't you trust the Savior? And if you are a follower of Christ, you've been carrying that anger that's impacted your home. You can't remove the damage it's caused, but with God's forgiveness and with his power, you can change through the Spirit how you act now and in the future. God's will for your life is for that anger to go, to be put off, and to put on kindness and tenderness.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the second part of a message on anger. And as we continue our new study on the seven deadly sins, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the powerful new booklet John has put together. It's designed to walk you through these messages in the coming weeks, and it explains how sin impacts every one of us. To fully understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and our need for salvation, we must have a clear understanding of the reality and the implications of sin. So reach out today and get your copy of John's essential booklet titled Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. Download it today or request a copy by mail. It's all at theverdict.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter. Would you be interested in contributing to this radio ministry to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Your support through a one-time donation, no matter the amount, will aid our mission to bring God's word into the lives of people all around the world. You can easily give a gift right now by going online to theverdict.org. Or feel free to send a check through the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And before we close, make sure you're subscribed to The Verdict Podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. You can listen on your favorite podcast app or through our website at theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you dealing with your anger in a mature way? Sit down, pray, and address your problems with others in a Christ-like way. Be gentle, be gracious. Don't think the worst of people. The Holy Spirit who indwells every believer in Jesus Christ transforms our lives and helps us to demonstrate his fruit, part of which is self-control. So, confess your sin and look to Christ for forgiveness and renewal. Next time, we continue in our series on the seven deadly sins as we think of the intriguing sin of sloth.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.